Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today to the second of a two-part series on Praise the Lord, Part 2. This is an in-depth teaching, but for a much fuller and longer avenue of looking and examining this here, you'll look at our Praise the Lord series available on our website at www.forhisglory.org, which will be repeated at the end of the show. We will show you through Hebrew eyes and revelation what is in this book that is God's. God is very gracious to us and very kind to us, and what He gives us, we intend to fully give you. Now, let's look at another couple of words in the time that we have today. A very common one that you hear people say often is the word hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, in English, how many words is that?
One.
Oh, one. Okay. Well, that's it. Let's fix it.
Okay.
And really, in Hebrew, it's two. Hallelujah is one.
Yeah.
And Danielle said the second one, which is
Yah.
Yah is the short form of Yahweh, which is God's name. So it's God's name equally, just spelled Y-A-H. So hallelujah, praise the
Lord.
Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. The Lord Himself. All right? That's a term we must not escape. Now recognize something else. It's not a noun. The first part of it is a verb. So it's not only something you say, it's something you
do.
You do. Why? Because a verb connotes
action.
Action. So it's something you have to do. So not only do I say hallelujah, which is two words, but it's something that I have to
do.
To do. Right. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So now I better learn what it is that I have to do and then do what I have just learned.
We're
now,
ready.
Here we go. Hallelujah is it's in its noun form, it's tehillah. And it's a form from the three-letter root because every word has a three-letter root, sometimes a two, often a three-letter root in Hebrew, and it's composed of three letters. Hey, lamed, lamed. Hallel, halal, actually. Now, in a moment, Danielle is going to translate that, but I want to cue you in that every word has, in Hebrew, at a very deep level, 70 meanings, and each letter has 7 meanings. So as we look at it, you've entered the editor's room, you've entered the studio, and you've looked at it, and you're finding out what are the deeper meanings here, and you're looking at what most people in the audience don't see. So come in with us, look at it deeper, come and see. Danielle, help us out in this here. These are three letters here. Let's help everybody understand this at a much deeper level. The first letter is a He, which means to behold, or the. It also means grace. Then it's two Lamids, which is a Hebrew letter, Lamid, Lamid. So what does a Lamid mean as far as a letter goes? What
lamid
are some of the means?
Lamid means tongue.
Tongue.
Authority.
Authority.
Teaching.
Teaching. Oh, good. Rod.
Rod, yes.
Okay, so did you all hear that? I'm going to ask you to repeat it so you can write it down. Lamed means
tongue.
Tongue. Teaching.
Teaching. Rod.
Authority.
Authority.
Good. Did you all get that? Remember, we're taping this, so don't worry. But if you write it down, it's great if you're able to. Now, you should always have your Bible handy. Be ready to write. Plenty of table room, pens, papers, everything you need. Children to grandparents, everybody should be studying and learning about God. Now, let's put together what Daniel said. This halal, hallel, which is the root form of tehillah, which is the noun form of the verb hallelujah. Yah, which is two words. Yah is God's name, the Lord Himself, all right, means the tongue of tongues, or the rod of rods, or the teaching of teachings, or the authority, exactly, of authority. Oh, wait a minute. Go ahead, Danny.
This is when the letter is doubled?
Right, the letter is doubled. See, in Hebrew, you can't really make a superlative like good, better, best. You don't say best, but so what do you do to have that function in this language of Hebrew? You would double something. So if I wanted to say, for example, the greatest king, I would say the King of Kings. See what she did? She doubled it. The King of Kings. If I wanted to say the greatest Lord.
Lord of Lords.
Oh, good. If I wanted to say the greatest song.
Song of Songs.
If I wanted to say the greatest ditch.
Ditch of Ditches.
That's in the Bible. Go to 2 Kings. You'll find it. with Elisha. Okay? Now, study that carefully. You'll look at it and you'll examine each one carefully. Now, as you look at it, you go, wait a minute. Okay. Now, same principle holds with letters. All right? Hey, Lamed, Lamed. Now, I want you to look at that carefully also. If you went to 2 Kings, I mentioned it to you. Let me give you a little title reference there. You're going to look at it in chapter 3. 2 Kings, chapter 3. And I'll let you go make the valley in verse 16. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of trenches. And if you look at that carefully, you're going to see there's a doubling effect there. That's in what? We mentioned it in your Bible. 2 Kings, chapter 3, verse 16. And you'll see it, and it's going to give you the doubling effect there. And you'll be able to find this out very clearly. There it is. Okay, I double-checked it for you. Now, Hey Lamed Lamed means the tongue of tongues, or the greatest tongue, the greatest authority, the greatest teaching. So, when you do Hallelujah, when you want to give God the greatest praise, these kind of hallelujahs, what are you going to use? You're going to use the greatest teaching.
Yes.
Where are we going to get the greatest teaching?
From the book.
What book?
The Bible.
Oh, the book, not a book.
The book.
You heard her? The book. That's the one and the only one, the Bible. All right? The greatest rod. Now, wait a minute. What do you mean rod? The greatest rod. Now, there are rods, but also understand an interesting point in Judaism. Rod also meant the Bible. Spare the rod and spoil the
child.
Oh, whip them. Well, excuse me. Hello? Put them rods away, people, like in the garbage. That's not what the Bible
said. That's not what the Bible says.
You're not going to find Jewish sages or commentators align themselves with that. That is so far remote from our teaching. It is a heinous crime. Don't do it.
That's what we learn in church.
I'm sorry. May have been well-intentioned, but not well-informed.
Can you clear that up for us, please?
Spare the rod and spoil a child is understood this way. And please understand something else. With no disrespect intended, we Jews know something about this Bible. We study it since we're five. We know it in the original. Just please give a certain amount of credence to that fact, all right? So spare the rod means to spare the teaching you pass under the rod, under the Torah, the teachings of God. So what you're saying is if you spare my son or my daughter, the teachings of God, the rod, the rule book, the instructions, the ways of God, you're going to spoil them. If you spare the rod, you spare the teaching. What kind of God do you think you got? You're making him a tyrant. They're going to grow up and they're going to leave. They don't want anything to do with God or you. You beat them up. You don't teach them how to change. You teach them pain. You don't teach them behavior. You have to teach them behavior. You have to teach them. You talk to them. You instruct them. You feed them the word of God, which is the word of life. And as a parent that represents God to them, godly representatives on earth, of what God has given your precious soul to nurture, not to crush, to raise up, not to throw down, to instruct, not to destruct. You have to teach them. You give them the rod. You give them the teaching, the rule of God, the instructions of God. You're commanded to do that because if you don't, you'll spoil them. They're going to go some other way.
And when they get older?
And you're to train up a child when they're young. So when they're old, they won't depart from it. And the term to train up is from chanak. It's used four times in the Hebrew scriptures, from Genesis to Chronicles. It's from the same root for Hanukkah, feast of dedication. You dedicate a child. It's a very sacred thing, people, to have children.
How old is older?
13 for a boy, 12 for a girl. We don't have any such thing as teenagers in Judaism, which is a great relief to most teenagers, because a teenager is typically in no man's land for about 10 years, you know, maybe about 12 to 22, 15 to 25. You're too young to be an adult, and you're too old to be a child. So we're teenagers. We're a separate species that don't know how to fit and adapt into the world. And then we have to run around trying to save teenagers that we created. We created such a thing. In Judaism, we don't have that. You're a young adult, or you're a young man, you're a young woman. You come into the community with full honors as a young one, but as an adult. And you're treated accordingly. And the way we treat you is going to tell you how we also respect you. And then when we show you how to look at yourself, it's going to help you see yourself in that light also. When your elders and the people who are parents, your parents and others, treat you in such a way, they're telling you by example and their life what they expect from you. So it's a marvelous time, and welcome back to 10 years of life, at least. Okay? So good teaching will free you, wrong teaching will destroy you. Please don't ever think people, God said, smack your children, beat them up, give them pain, pull out the whip, backyard, barnyard, whatever. Don't do it anymore. And don't use this Bible to validate that. Okay? Please, for God's sake, treat those children in a godly way. So, continuing. So, the hallelujah is to praise the Lord. The greatest teaching, the greatest rod, which is the Torah, the teachings of God, the ways of God, the instructions of God. That also gives you the greatest authority. And your direction for all that praise is to God. Now, it's interesting, in the term hallelujah, the first three letters are hey, lamed, lamed. Then is a vav, and then is the term yah, which we said earlier is yah, which is for the Lord. That's God's name, yah. The vav connects the term halal with the term yah. It's all written as one word in Hebrew, all right? But it's really two words, at least in English, even three, praise the Lord, hallelujah, all right? So technically, in Hebrew, it's still one word, but in English, it's going to break out to praise the Lord, all right? The Lord, the is implied, so it's two words in English, one word in Hebrew. If you transliterate it, hallelujah, let's stand on this, it's really one word. Now, there's a vav connecting the two, and a vav is the sixth letter of the alphabet, and it also means, vav means a nail. Now, what do you do with a nail? You put on a wall, it used to be an old coat hanger. You throw a shirt or jacket over the nail, that was a coat hanger. You join things together. Here's a very interesting spiritual concept here. If you really want to hallelujah to Yah, praise the Lord, the vav connects the two. That means it joins the praise to God. So not everything we say is a praise to God. Often things may be just words, but not really praise. Unless it is, what did Danielle tell you before with halal, hey, lamed, lamed? It's the tongue of tongues. It's the teaching of teachings. It's the
authority of authority.
Authority of authority. It's the rod of
rods.
Exactly. And unless you have that, it's not joined to God. You don't want to miss that concept, people, because it's not enough just to say hallelujah. You must speak the words that have authority as hallelujah. And with that understanding, I want you to look at Psalm 22, verse 3. All right? Psalm 22, verse 3. This is a first-person narrative, really, as a future portrayal of Jesus Christ on the cross, written by our beloved King David, Melech David. And verse 3 says, Wa'ata kadosh yoshev tehilot Yisrael. Wa'ata kadosh yoshev tehilot Yisrael. Yet thou art holy, or thou art the Holy One. And thou art the Holy One, and you are enthroned or seated on the praises of Israel. Tehilah, tehilot. All right? The same, that's the noun form from which we get hallelujah. Wait a minute, it says thou art the Holy One, and you are enthroned or sit on the praises of Israel, and by extension, all the people who know God through God's covenants, okay? Including the Brit Chadashah, the new covenant. You two are the people of God. You are not Israel. No, you're not. But you are equally people, the people of God. And that's a joy. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, Danielle. And amen to you all. So understand, hallelujah is when you have the greatest tongue, the greatest teaching. Daniel said it's the book, it's the Bible. You're speaking it out of your soul, and then that is joined to God. Now, where does that come into play where we are in Psalm 22:3? And what are we doing today, people, if you just joined us? And for all the rest, you're learning how to praise the Lord, not just say hallelujah or praise, but how to do hallelujah, all right? And thou art the Holy One. and you are enthroned, you are seated on the praises of Israel. So when you have the greatest of tongues and the greatest from the depths of your soul going up, it joins to Yah, it joins to God. God sees his word, Jeremiah 1:12, and he sees, he's watching over his word to perform it. He likes his words. His words, he is the word. It's his nature. It is his essence. His word is that which is him. So when he hears his word, he is enthroned. He sits on his word. He is one with his word. There's nothing then between that praise and your God. He is enthroned on the praises of his people. That cuts through all the muck. It cuts through all the mire. Any demonic spirits and junk in the atmosphere and static between you and God is gone. It is gone, because when God is enthroned on it, everything else is gone. When light comes in, the light invades the darkness. The darkness, when you put on the light, even in your own room, this is a principle of truth. And truth is true all the way through. You put on the light in your room, where does the darkness go? Next door? In your sock? Where does it go?
It's gone.
It's where?
Gone.
Gone's a good place for it, all right? It's gone. So it's gone. When God sits on your praises, he's enthroned on them. He is most high. Your praises are raised up. You are connected to God. The Hallel is U, the Vav, U joined to Yah. The Hallel is U joined to God. You have the Hallelu. The U sound is the Vav, which means to join. Your praise, the greatest tongue, what you speak, and the greatest depths as the authority of God is then joined to Yah. God hears the praise as the Holy One. People, he's not going to join himself to that which is unholy. It's either pure, perfect, and right and righteous, or forget it. It's not going to connect with God, because God is too holy and too pure to even look on that which is not right and good. All right? He doesn't behold. He doesn't focus on. He's God, and he's focused. He's pure and perfect. So your praise must connect with God. Therefore, it must be the greatest of teaching, the greatest authority, the greatest rod, the greatest of what God has. And it's all in the book. This book is written on your hearts and souls. When you read it, it should remind you of what's already there in your soul. So when you say hallelujah, you are to do hallelujah.
When we praise the Lord, we should be praising him with words from his word.
Oh, God, what a good answer. Now, how do I do that? What a good thought. It's a question, but in that I already see the answer. Danielle had said it. You praise God from his word. Now, wait a minute. Why don't I just read hallelujah? If you look at your Bible, I'm going to give you several examples of how to do hallelujah. You look at Psalm 145. Actually, started 146, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150 as some examples. The last five Psalms, 146, 47, 48, 49, 50, 146 to 50, they all start with the same Hebrew term, hallelujah. Therefore, these are hallelujah Psalms. They tell you how to do hallelujah to God. They tell you how to praise him, how to love him, how to speak to him. And all of those things in there, you are not only to read and to say out loud, but you are to do them to the best of what you can. Do them and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into every single step of that along the way. As you read those, you do hallelujah. You hallelujah at Yahweh min hashmayim. Hallelujah b'merumim. In Psalm 148, it starts out with hallelujah. Then it tells you, hallelujah Yahweh min hashmayim. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Hallelujah b'merumim. Praise him from the heights. Right, here's a question for you. How do you praise God from the heavens? This is a good question, isn't it? I like this question even.
Yeah.
It says, all right, now you're told, this is a verb, right? Hallelujah. Praise. Say, fine, I just read it in English, and he read it for us in Hebrew, and I still haven't done it. You read it, but you haven't done it. How do you praise God from the heavens? All right? Anybody there have an answer? I can't hear you.
Tell us.
All right.
Us.
Well, all right. Let's tell you. You go to Revelation. Let me give you an example that God gave me. And you could check it in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 4 and 5, the scene is in heaven. What's interesting in here, you have great scenes. I'll enjoin you to read it yourself carefully, but get the frame of reference. It's a scene, it's a Rosh Hashanah event, because the gate of heaven is opened, that in Hebrew terms, study our tape series on the Holy Days of Israel. You'll see the whole flow of the Holy Days, so Leviticus 23, and several of the holidays, how this all plays out. Look at chapter 4 and 5. We are here, and you see creation itself, in all different aspects, crying out to God. The living beings before, I don't want to call them creatures. These are holy ones that God has made, worshiping around this throne. These four living beings crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is to come, in Revelation 4:8. And then you see they're joined. After the four living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, to him who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders in verse 10, Revelation 4, will fall down before him who sits on the throne. And will worship him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Worthy art thou, O Lord, our God, worthy art thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. Worthy art thou, O our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou didst create all things, and because of thy will they existed and were created. And it continues. Then you see, continuing, you see the 24 elders in chapter 5, verse 9, worshiping God. Then you come to verse 11 in Revelation 5, chapter 5, verse 11. You see more worship. Where's the scene? It is in heaven. What are we still learning to do? Well, we read in Psalm 148. It said, praise the Lord from the heavens. These people are in heaven. It's written in the Bible. We know what they're saying. They're in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Why is it recorded? For us to know, to learn, and also to be able to do what we should do. All right, God will show us what to do. Look at this, verse 13. And every created thing which is in the heaven and on earth, and under the earth and on the sea, all things in them, and all things in them I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And then you find the four living creatures kept saying, Amen, Amen, Amen. And the four and the elders fell down and worshipped. So when God says to praise him, praise the Lord from the heavens, you look up in the Bible, everything dealing with heaven. Then you find out where in the heavenlies praise is going on that you can have that is recorded for you so you can have, so you can do it. There it is. Revelation 4 and 5. And to every believer, here's a very interesting thought with time. Do you know in that verse that I read to you in Revelation 5, 13 and 5, 13, when it said, In every created thing which is in the heaven, in every created thing which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all things in them I heard saying, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And 14, and the four living beings kept saying, Amen. Amen. They kept saying Amen. And the elders fell down and worshipped. I had to keep saying Amen. It's just too good. Now what happens? We're all there saying it. But wait a minute. I'm not there yet. But John wrote about this 2,000 years ago. We weren't. Where were we at all? We weren't here for sure. John sees in the future praise in the heaven that's going on. Writes it in the past. Centuries before we're born, and there's the praise, and God says, write it down for my people. These are the words that we will be praising later. We can use them now. God wrote them for us. From that, you'll be able to do at least Psalm 148 in the early verse where it says, it's the first verse in the Hebrew, and maybe your second verse in English, you'll check it. Hallelu et Yahweh min ha-shamayim, hallelu bamerhomim. So learn how to praise God. This is a good introduction for you. We're running out of time, but we're running with you to get the race done. So stick with us. We'll stick by you, and we bid you from our hearts.
Shalom.
Shalom.